find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Nice to have you along. Big Tuesday. Blazers get a new TV deal. But also, Portland Diamond Project now looking to buy Zydel Yards right there by the OHSU tram. The founder and president of the Portland Diamond Project is Craig Cheek, and he returns to our program right now. At least I think. Hello.
Yeah. Isaac and Sue. I've missed you. How are you guys?
In the flesh. Yes. Oh, we're great. We are great, and we've missed you. Now, last we talked to you, or maybe it was Mike, but it was Red Tail. Now it's Zydel Yards. What changed?
You know, some things, whether it's serendipitous or providential, but I think it was just meant to be that we are down on the river. We're hitting home runs into the Willamette. We got the mountain as a backdrop. West Hills behind us. All things kind of came together. As you guys know, this has been quite a journey trying to get a parcel landed, but we feel like it all came together and it's the place we're supposed to be.
Well, we're all hoping for a waterfront park. I can't think of a better view than the Tillicum Bridge on one side with Mount Hood in the background. You said hitting home runs in there, but obviously it's not nearly the size of Red Tail, but I saw in the release that Red Tail is still in play. Is this something where you need both? Or could the Zydel Yards work without Red Tail as well?
Yeah, we really want both. As you guys know, that the economics of sustaining these teams are just massive. And we would have loved to have a lot more acreage to work with. We will be able to develop on the south side of Zydel Yards. So we'll have 15, 16 acres. And there'll be some cool complementary things we can do to create the energy down at the ballpark. But really adding the Red Tail piece of it gives us the development to be able to really make the economics work. So we're excited about the first big piece of the puzzle to fall in, and the ballpark location is just going to be epic. But we do need that land to develop as part of our vision.
And I don't know if you can even comment on this, but I mean, is there an element? We know that the city wanted it in city limits. Red Tail is outside of that, but you need the city in order to buy Red Tail. Is part of this maybe just, you know, kind of a compromise where everyone kind of gets what they want? The city gets the ballpark in the city, and you guys get what you want, which is a bigger piece of property to develop to try to make back, I don't know, the several billions of dollars that you're going to have to spend to build the ballpark. Is this just kind of a works for everyone, meeting of minds?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you just sized it up very well. And it wasn't like we were coming kicking and screaming, you know, back into downtown Portland. We wanted to find something that worked. As you guys know, we've, you know, put money down on other properties, tried to tie up other properties, made offers on properties. It just wasn't happening. And this particular moment in time, it all came back together. And so it's a huge win for the city, right? And we love to be part of that. Bring that energy, that ballpark downtown here, and it's the right site. But the partnership is, everybody understands that it needs to work, and these ballparks are around for a long time, and we need to be a sustainable, you know, healthy franchise. And so it did come together with a partnership that let's bring the ballpark downtown, but let's make sure that we can also have an economic development lift out into Beaverton.
So do you have a purchase price worked out with Jay Zydel, or I mean, how close are you?
Yeah, we worked very hard on the LOI and on the terms agreement. So a lot of the fundamentals are put into place, and we started yesterday on getting to the purchase sale agreement finalization. So that'll probably take, you know, 3 weeks to a month just to tick and tie. But essentially, we are locking arms and good to go, and we're excited.
Okay, so because I think a lot of that business jargon, people get lost, and they just want to know you're closing the deal. So you're saying 3 weeks to a month, and this thing's wrapped up?
Yes, that would be That's how it works. You enter all of the terms agreements in the LOI. You work all those details out, and then you paper it. And so we've already moved to that level of of the process, and we expect there not to be any hiccups. And both parties are pretty excited. This is kind of the moment we've been waiting for.
Do you have renderings of that location?
We don't yet. And it's one of the reasons why we were kind of hoping to have a little bit more time before the coming out party. But we are thrilled to have Populous cranking away. I actually just left their office about a half hour ago, and we'll go into a 6-week design process, and it'll be another great moment for us to pull those designs up. And there's going to be some iconic design work done. And I think it'll really get fans and Portlanders excited once they see, wow, that's what the ballpark's going to look like. And that's what we can dream about. So later down, the holiday, we should have that, and we'll pull that up for another moment.
So this is Craig Cheek. He's the founder and president of the Portland Diamond Project. Zidell Yards, I mean, I don't even know if this is still a thing, because I half think that perhaps the Zidell family has addressed this over time, but the environmental issue, it's the old shipyard, and there's a lot of they're just over time. There's always rumors of a bunch of money is needed to clean up that area environmentally. Has that mostly been done? Is that going to be on you? Where are we at on that level of it?
Yeah, I probably won't comment, too deep on that, because we're kind of learning ourselves how much work has been done. I do know, if you look into the history, the last barge that shoved off was like 2017, and then Jay and the family did have aspirations and went to work on developing that, and with that came a lot of remediation on the soil. Yeah. So they have done a lot of work, as you guys have probably seen over the years. Cirque du Soleil has been down there, and they've done movie nights and all that. So it's kind of a ready-made, dirt pad right now, but we'll learn a lot more about what else needs to be done as we get into the design process. But they've done a lot of work already.
So, to be fair, you won't find bigger supporters of this idea than the two of us. But again, I think we do have to be fair, because there's a lot of people that have some skepticism. And so when they read the agreement, it's, we have whatever the due diligence period, which is, a couple months. And then you've got almost a 4-year period where you have the ability to purchase it. When I think people hear that, I think people get scared again. The rug's being pulled out. Is that purchase window of several years, is that simply the idea of you're not purchasing this, writing a check, unless Major League Baseball says, yes, you have a team, you buy the property, the shovel goes in the ground? Am I in the ballpark on that?
Yeah, I think that is definitely a big part of it, but it's not the complete picture. I think what you want to do is you want to learn and earn your way into understanding what makes sense on that property, what we need to work through, whether it's infrastructure, egress, ingress, in and out of that development. And so what you do is you do have a tail to the agreement. Our hope would be that we're both parties are wanting to jump in and roll our sleeves up and start figuring out that we plan on closing a lot earlier than that. But in any agreement, you give yourself some time to just get educated on everything that it's going to take. And then you are trying to land the plane with timing with MLB, right? So, but we're excited about believing that this is the site. It's a fantastic site. And now we'll go to work on making sure that we're moving as quick as possible, because we want to meet MLB's timeline.
Would you buy this land? Would you write millions of dollars check, buy this land outright without an agreement from Major League Baseball that you will get a team?
Yeah, and that is our intent. Okay. We will. And we will do everything we can to bring an MLB team here. And you got to cast that vision. But if the worst case scenario is we become property owners and land developers at Zidell Yards, we're willing to make that bet, take that risk, and then we will develop it with the best plan possible at that time. But yeah, we're going in buying this property, and then and then let's go lure MLB in.
Where are you at with MLB? That was going to be my next question.
You know, we follow the news stories, and we stay connected. As you guys know, you know, we've never speak on behalf of MLB, but we can honestly say that they've been very consistent that when the A's and the Rays get stabilized, they in earnest want to move aggressively towards adding two new teams and reconfigure the divisions and the playoff format and add two new teams. And so, as you guys have been watching, the A's and the Rays, a lot of progress has been made. And so we believe now the perfect timing is for us is to get ready and get caught up and be able to kind of meet that moment. So we haven't had any specific conversations. They're very aware of our effort, and they're staying very engaged. They actually would like updates regularly from us. And I think that's good news for us, good news for them, that they've got a city and a group still believing we're the best fit for the next West Coast expansion team.
Where are you, Craig, on the Red Tail deal with the city?
In process right now. We are having the right conversations with the mayor and the city council members, and we'd love this to happen on this current city council's watch, and we'd love it to be another significant milestone before we move into the new, you know, charter of government in the new year. We're working pretty feverishly to try to get that done here over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
I didn't even think about that part of it.
Yeah, because right now it does appear that you have some support. Is it your understanding that it's basically down to you and Salt Lake? That as far as we know, there's not another viable option for expansion out west.
Yep, that's how we're handicapping it right now. We're the two groups the furthest along, with the most, you know, leadership involved and the best story to tell. And we think this move probably helped us leapfrog back into, back into the pole position. And we'll begin to start, you know, telling that story. Our market, our fan base, our time zone, our rivalry with the Mariners, our weather, you name it, we think we have a great story to tell. But Salt Lake definitely has been putting their best foot forward too. So I think it'll come down between us two.
And then when you look at how you get people in and out of there, just that area, it looks tight.
Yeah.
Will you buy land across the river for parking? What are you thinking in terms of infrastructure around the ballpark there?
Yeah, great question. We're just beginning to start to figure all that out, right? Are there some ancillary properties right around there that we should be looking at? What's our partnership going to be with OHSU? They've got some parking needs. What makes sense down there? We do believe, that Tillicum Crossing Bridge is one of one. I mean, when you read the plaque there, that it's the only one in North America where it's our mass transit and pedestrian bridge and no cars come across it. I just think it's going to be cool to think about our fans coming from Gresham, Milwaukee, Happy Valley, East Portland, coming to that east side, and maybe with the transformation happening at OMSI and more development there, that it just becomes this rite of passage that you cross over the bridge into the ballpark. And then east people, you know, hey, stay east and walk over, and west, figure out how to get down there and get into the ballpark. But we'll work on a lot of infrastructure in partnership with the city and PBOT and Metro and everybody. And, we'll have probably 4 years in earnest to get it right. So I like our chances of everybody pulling together to make that as seamless and easy as possible. And think about it. You may have 10 ways to get to the ballpark. Take the tram, take the train, take a ferry, take mass transit. Maybe we can make that the cool thing to do and leave your cars as far away from the ballpark as possible. Yeah.
Well, you guys are resilient. I give you a lot of credit. Keep the fight, man. We're behind you here. You know that.
No, I do know that. You guys have been great, and it's been a minute since we've caught up, and we finally get to poke our head up again. So
yeah.
Appreciate all of your support, and we'll try to engage the fan base now. A lot of people thought maybe we went away, but we're roaring back, and it's time to go.
All right, let's get it. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, I was good to
you too. Craig Cheek, he is the founder, president Portland Diamond Project.
My favorite thing I heard, and I know we got so much to get into.
Well, but we got a post-game show segment next.
My favorite thing I heard was, regardless of Major League Baseball, they're going to try to pull the trigger on that property. That, to me, is a big deal.
Vancouver 4 text line is 503-864-6326. Do you like what you heard? A couple of thoughts next on The Fan. All right, I'm going to read some of your texts here. Craig Cheek just on our show. It's been a wild ride for those guys.
Yep.
And long.
Yeah.
And winding.
Well, and look, they were undercut by the riots and then COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, when that was happening, there wasn't a single other entity anywhere in the West that was challenging them. And Portland made so much sense. And then, you know, they had the visit from Major League Baseball that got canceled because, well, we had other things going on in the city. And so now, unfortunately, I think you're playing catch up because you got lapped by Salt Lake. And I think having this property, and I thought it was big when he said that, dude, this isn't an agreement to purchase it and then hang out for 3 or 4 years. He said their intention is to buy this regardless. And then once you have land and you have a plan, then I think you can maybe be back on even footing with Salt Lake because that's who you're competing against.
Yeah, I think, you know, in some ways, this is going to sound weird, but in some ways, the timing of COVID and the riots and everything that happened with Portland, mm-hmm. the homeless situation, it actually worked in their favor because the reality is that MLB was not ready to expand then anyway.
Yeah.
So as he mentioned, and they've always said this is the one constant, and every time we talk to Barrett or him, is that the timing, syncing the timing with MLB is everything. Mm-hmm. So all of this, none of this matters until Major League Baseball is ready to expand, which the word on the street is within the next 5 years, they may be ready to do so.
Yep.
That's when you have to have your ducks in a row. So imagine how much worse it would have been if MLB was ready to expand in 2020.
Yeah.
And all this crap goes down in our city, and then they're like, well, maybe we'll look at, you know, Salt Lake suddenly sees that and gets their stuff together and comes out of nowhere and throws a bunch of money down and says, well, we'll take the team. And then you would never get a team.
Yeah.
So maybe it was lucky that all that crap went down. Portland is trying to rebound, and you still got 3 to 5 years before at least 3 years before you even get an answer. He mentioned 4 years in the interview there.
Yeah.
Where you have definitive, word from MLB that they do want to expand. Yeah. And so maybe the timing is better having waited.
Yeah, it's possible. But I think, again, trying to read between the lines, because there's obviously things that he can't say. But, I mean, I thought he was very honest and upfront with about a lot of those things that the idea that this getting purchased before the end of the year when we have the changeover in leadership, I think is a big deal. Because to me, again, reading between the lines, basically what he said, this is a partnership. They did not necessarily want to put this ballpark in the city because of the size of the piece of property down, whether at Lloyd Center was certainly the big one. And the city was like, no, we want it here. And you need the city to sell you Red Tail. And so I just love the fact that this is a you scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? You agree to put it in the city, not at Lloyd Center because there's no land there. You put it at Zindel Yards. We sell you Red Tail. You have two pieces of property to develop, and you can find a way to make the billions back by both developments. But the fact that probably needs to get done before leadership changes over, I think is another good sign that they're willing to go ahead with this and actually put some skin in the game and actually buy land. Because at that point, then at least they've already put money into this, but once you buy two pieces of land like that for tens of millions of dollars, now you're really talking about being committed to something and being able to go to Major League Baseball and say, hey, this isn't the concepts of a plan. This is a plan, because Salt Lake doesn't have concepts of a plan. Salt Lake has $900 million in public money.
I have concepts of a plan.
Salt Lake has an entire district. Salt Lake has all of that, and we don't. We have concepts of a plan. And so if by the end of the year, the Diamond Project buys the yards down on the South Waterfront and Red Tail, you can go to Major League Baseball and then say, no, we have a plan. Here's what it is. So I do think that you may see some of this stuff happen very, very quickly, not the team or anything like that. But I think it makes sense when you listen to him that this could happen by the end of the year where these pieces of land are purchased before the city changes leadership.
A couple of texts, Vancouver 4 text line. What I heard, no land purchase, final, no team, no parking, no information. That was a waste of an interview. Well, I mean, I think part of why some people may feel that way, and first of all, we get that all the time about Portland Diamond Project.
Yeah.
There are just those people that just think this is never going to happen, yeah, and they're just trying to sell merch, and I don't know, they even think it's maybe a grift. I can't tell you how wrong you are, but I'm done telling you how wrong you are. They're trying their ass off. Yeah. They have been for years.
And they've spent so much money already.
It's just very, very hard in Portland, and we all know that.
Yeah. It's hard to make things move, but these people are making it their livelihood to bring a baseball team here. So whether we have clear-cut answers on some of this stuff yet or not, they're trying to make it happen.
I think part of the reason that feeling permeates with people, some people, is just that there really isn't a lot. Like they had to come out of the woodwork. This broke in the Willamette Week. Somebody leaked it to the Willamette Week. They did not want to come out and talk about this until they had something tangible. He even said, we rushed right over to the architects to get the drawings, and we want to get rendering. What we want to do is come out with a bang and show you, here's our plan, here's what we have purchased, here's what it's going to look like, here's our vision. They wanted to do all that, but this news broke, and now they're having to get out ahead of that. Yeah. So I think that's part of why it makes it feel like they don't have a lot of answers. They're going to come out, I would imagine. He said 3 to 4 weeks, Zidell Yards, you know, within the next couple of months. And like you said, he even mentioned the changeover in government here is a big one for them, because they have support from Wheeler and this current city council to get that Red Tail deal done. If they can do that by the end of the year, you should see them come out with some more concrete stuff. But I understand why that feeling of, well, nothing really, you know, set in stone here, but that's kind of how these things work.
Yeah.
They can't always do it on their own timeline. Yeah. If they could do it on their own timeline, I think you'd be way more excited.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the media is out there trying to dig up stuff, and they get half truths and they get stories here and half stories there. And that's what gets everybody stirred up where there really aren't as many answers quite yet.
Yeah. The other one that we hear so many times, and there's about three or four of these, is why do they need Red Tail if the park would be on the river? Kent. So the Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred floated out. Did you see what he floated out for the expansion fee?
As like, is it a billion yet?
2.2
billion.
So for the right to buy a team, $2.2 billion. Mm. To build a stadium, you're probably in the neighborhood of $2 billion.
Mm.
The development around a stadium, you're probably into it for at least another $1 billion. So when you talk about spending $5 billion, I you don't get that back from ticket sales for a long, long time. So like when you see teams like the Braves that build their stadium, and when you see teams without a lot of public money, and by the way, there's not a lot of public money that's going into this, right? This is going to be privately financed. So the reason why you need a big piece of land and why you need the Red Tail, acreage there is because when you sink $4 or $5 billion into something, you got to start making some of that money back. And it's not necessarily the baseball team that brings you that money back in the short term. It's by building apartments. It's by leasing out retail space. It's by developing the land around a ballpark or out in Red Tail so that you're not sinking $5 billion into something and then taking 30 years to get your money back. So it's one thing when you're like the Texas Rangers and the city gives you $2 billion to build it. That's not happening in Portland. So I think it's important to realize that everyone's like, oh, everyone just, you know, money, sports makes money hand over fist. Well, not necessarily in the short term when the cost of this is going to be so, so very much. And so that's why the space, the acreage is such a big deal, and why the Lloyd Center was a non-starter, and why Zidell Yards is probably a middle ground. But he even said it, you need the Red Tail to go hand in hand so that they can make this a viable option.
Another one says, hey, love what I heard. Glad to know MLB is actually wanting the Diamond Project to keep them updated on everything. They're doing that so that they can keep Portland in mind. That's great.
Yeah.
Another one, no way they're closing on that land without a guarantee of an MLB team. If they get to the end of their due diligence period, they put their initial deposit as non-refundable, but they can still walk for any reason up until outside the closing date. No MLB guarantees. No way they close on that land. Real estate developers contract property like this all the time, and if they don't get their commitment, i.e. a signed lease from their anchor tenant, they will walk before their contracted outside closing date, which truly binds them to buying the property.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I get it. People on the inside are like, yeah, we know how these deals
work. I'm just going off of what he said. I asked him point blank, do you need an agreement from Major League Baseball to buy these two pieces of property? And he flat out said no. He said that they would be, it's not what they want, but they would become land developers in Portland. So,
another one says, I can't wait for MLB to finally come to Portland. Really starting to sound like a sure thing. Signed Memphis, Tulane, and Texas San Antonio to the Pac-12 and Mariners 92% playoff odds in July.
Yeah. I understand people's negativity. I'm choosing to look on the bright side of things.
GD, give me some damn baseball. JC, how is this not so ready to happen yet? I know lots has to happen, but damn, man. A lot of cussing in that one.
Again, nothing can happen until Major League Baseball says it can happen.
That's right. That's the whole thing here is that, again, I think it's been a good thing that we've had a lot of S go down over the last 5 to 10 years because all of that, we're getting it out of the way because Portland or MLB wasn't ready to expand anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well,
take our lumps for that and then come back stronger in a couple years and the timing will work.
People can say I'm an idiot, but I'm choosing to believe in the city. I believe we're on a comeback from the WNBA to women's soccer, to men's soccer that have worked in this city. Things are getting better. You have city leadership now penning letters in support of this. We know Major League Baseball is looking to expand.
Teddy Ballgame's last little legacy play on his way out out as mayor.
We're dumping several millions of dollars into the area across the river in OMSI. We're dumping a bunch of money down into Moda Center in the Albina neighborhood. I don't know, man. I feel some positive momentum because this city is it's too popular and it's too good to stay down forever. We took a black eye. We got our ass kicked a little bit. And I think we're bouncing back. And when you look at us as having one of the core big four and how well we've supported soccer and I think how well we're going to support the WNBA, I'm going to choose to believe in it.
Another text, LFG. You know what that means.
I do. Let's freaking go.
Baseball on the Portland waterfront would be a premier venue.
Damn right.
We'll stay cautiously optimistic. Another one. I've been saying that would be the best place for a ballpark for years. The view is amazing. Right on the river. My sports pants got extremely tight with this news. Go Portland Mavericks.
That would be pretty cool.
Another one says, I think people are skeptical because the city leadership loves to get in the way of improvement. No question.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, don't be... Look, I've long said, man, this is a long shot because it's Portland. And we've all seen how Portland operates. But don't lump this group into that. It really bothers me that people think that this group is up to no good or it's just it's fake or dude, they are trying their ass off. Now, if they don't get this done, I'm telling you, it's not going to be because it's their fault.
No,
trust me.
Yeah,
they're working their and they've spent a lot of money.
Yes, they have
on this.
And for all those still questioning, I promise you, you can't talk about who and for different reasons. There's real money behind it. Anyone that thinks that this is, again, some sort of shadow operation to sell T-shirts and hats, I don't know what to tell you. The 5G is real and QAnon and all that crap. The negativity at times, it's staggering. I mean, I get why people are skeptical, but like you said, if it falls short, it's not going to be because of them.
Jordan says, I don't see the point to the negativity. You don't have a baseball team now. Worst case scenario, you still don't have one if they fail.
Thank you.
Exactly. That's the attitude I can appreciate. Hey, someone's trying to do something we don't have. Let them try.
Why is that so hard? I mean, exactly. Like, you don't have it. It's not like you can lose it. You can't lose something you don't have.
And if it's not the taxpayers' money, who cares if they lose money? It's not your money.
Exactly.
Here's somebody says, our city is a mess. As a lifelong Portlander, I'd rather my kids go to watch a game in Salt Lake City versus anywhere in Portland.
God.
Sad but true.
Why? Why is our city, like, what? I don't know. You're going to get me started again. Are we a war zone? Because I'm out in the city 5 days a week. Actually, usually more like six. Where is this? Where's the Beirut that I keep hearing about? I don't get it. I just, the fear mongering, I just don't understand it. I really don't. Are there sections of the city that are pretty rough? Absolutely. Welcome to big
every
cities.
American city.
Go to any red state, and I promise you, there the cities there are still rough when you get a city of several million people. And just, you know, I get it, man. I get it. We are not perfect, but dude, this is not some sort of hellscape here where nothing can ever get done. I just, it's, I don't know, that attitude, I just don't understand. And the people that feel that way, do any of them actually live in the city or come down to the city, or is this people that haven't sniffed?
Have moved out and now watch news.
Right? Is that what this is? Like, if you live 30 minutes away and you're like, I would never, because I know people that are like that.
I do too.
That are like, oh my God, you're going down there? I'm like, yeah, I'm down there all the time. Down there for concerts, down there at bars, down there after work down there. And you know, people act like you're like at any moment, like I'm going to get killed in a roadside bomb. And I'm like, I don't tell you, man, you should come drive down here sometime. It's actually, and I hear the same thing about San Francisco. Me and my buddy went down to a Giants game this year. We're walking around San Francisco and we were kind of laughing because he's more of a conservative guy. And he even looked at me and goes, you know what, buddy? He goes, a lot of bad stuff about San Francisco and like what a piece of crap this is and a lot of news networks. And he looks around and he goes, this actually looks pretty nice. I was like, yeah.
I mean, it was way blown out of proportion?
No way.
Well, you did that with Detroit too.
Yes. Detroit blew my...
The old school city we used to dump all over.
Yes. And if you notice, you don't hear a lot about that in Detroit anymore, because anyone that's been there in the last couple of years, the last 5 to 10 years, realizes, yeah, you can't really make fun of Detroit.
All right, up next, we're at In the News, Jace.
All right, ITN.
Out of the So Very Portland files, a statue has been returned. A statue returned to Coraline's Curious Cat Trail. Here's Buck.
Wow.
All right, nice to have you along.
True story.
Busy day. Blazers news, Portland Diamond Project, people bitching at us again. right now, though. September 24, 2024, time for In the News! I am your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much, ladies, gentlemen.
Pets.
Kids.
They're eating the pets.
They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the dogs.
The In the News segment here, brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Horchata Day. Horchata. So have yourself a horchata.
What is a horchata? Because that sounds...
It's like a...
It's a drink offered at Mexican restaurants. It's the ones that are in the big square clear tubs, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's
often like kind of creamy or
like
milky.
Creamy, milky thing.
It's kind of like your white Russians that you like.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I don't know if... maybe I have had a horchata.
I'm not a horchata fan.
When I hear horchata, I think of something else, but, you know.
There's also National Punctuation Day. Make sure you, when you write tonight.
A lot of people use way too many exclamation points lately, I've noticed.
Or the ellipses. Yeah. I overuse the ellipses.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. I do that.
I don't even know why you're supposed to do that, but sometimes
very
it's fun
guilty.
Just to have a dot, dot, dot.
Well, it's nice to just, it's a pregnant pause.
Yeah, right? It means there's a hanging thought there.
That's
I mean,
right.
The exclamation point, you need one to exclaim. You don't need a bunch.
I'm probably overusing the dot, dot, dot as well.
Do you ever do the exclamation point and the question mark together? Meaning you're really asking that question hard?
Yeah, it feels a little pretentious to
hard
me.
And loud?
Nah, I stay away from it.
A 6-foot-tall unicorn cat statue has been found. See, now,
well,
okay.
Thank God.
So we were talking about business development and bringing the city back. And now to the real issues that
Let's
matter.
Let's get back
the
to
the real
it.
Important stuff, like cat statues.
Yes. They're eating the cats.
It has been found. It disappeared over a day ago from Coraline's Curious Cat Trail.
Yeah.
At Waterfront Park. So the Keep Portland Weird statue, created and designed by local artist Celeste Potgeiter.
By the way, I saw her. She was on the news, and she looks exactly like the person that you would think that would create a cat statue. And I'm not taking shots at her. I'm just saying.
Childless cat lady.
She's right out of Central Casting. She was wearing like a little newsboy cap in there, and it just was like, I can see you making that cat statue.
It's one of 30 displayed on the trail. It was taken sometime between late Friday and early Saturday.
It looks like someone like was on a mushroom trip while staring at their cat.
Yeah,
it's pretty trippy, but thank God it's back.
Kind of a cool looking cat.
Yeah. How much does that thing weigh?
I don't know.
Because I like question. when I saw the statue, I was like, well, like, who steals that thing? Is that easy to steal? I mean, I don't know.
So they're going to auction off all of them on October 30th. This is a fundraiser for Dornbecker.
Oh.
But the cat trail, so thousands of people have visited it. So basically you just go from statue to statue. There's like 31 statues.
Sure.
And you just you walk around the city and go find them and look at them and, I don't know, pet them. I don't know. But it will remain open until October 13th.
All right.
And this one has been found.
Right, well.
So don't you fear, Jason. I know you were worried about
that. So we don't know who stole it, though.
I don't know. Who cares? You know, honestly, who cares? Okay?
Well, I'm sure someone cares.
How about that?
I mean,
we got the statue back.
That's all that matters.
Like
the statue
gonna,
is unharmed.
Like they're going to prosecute him anyway. Come on, man.
Right,
yeah,
well.
Put him in jail. Yee-hoo!
Imagine, hey, what are you in for? Ah, stolen cat statue. Like, what?
Hey, here's another very important Portland issue. The Pioneers may soon not be the mascot of Lewis and Clark College.
Oh, no. Wait, they're the Pioneers? I can't say.
Yes, they are.
I can't say I knew that.
A survey shows remarkably low support for that mascot name.
Is this because the Pioneers did something to someone back in the day? And...
Okay, well, Lewis and Clark were literal pioneers. It's the most appropriate, by far, mascot name you could come up with.
This is where we're going, that they did bad things.
Very important, so... guys. Okay. Very important.
So you better rename the college then, too.
Then it's true. Is it weird that they're the we have to get rid of the Pioneers, but then, you know, Lewis and Clark did bad things,
like,
too?
They're fine. They can stay on the university.
Let me just state for the record, once again, no one in the history of history was a good person. Didn't happen. Everyone did something bad. You don't go poking around, I promise you. It's all bad. It's all bad.
At the start of the year, they surveyed students, staff, and faculty, even alumni. 7,000 people responded. And one thing stood out, that the vast majority agreed that it's important for current students to have a mascot that they are proud of. Of course, the Pioneers dates back to 1942, where the student newspaper began publishing as the Pioneer Log. Mm. Then in 1946, the football team followed and took the name.
Okay.
The original Pioneer mascot, designed by an undergraduate, described Pioneer Pete as a jolly, good-natured fellow with a large, toothy grin and dressed in the true Pioneer fashion. But this visual representation was brief, and since there's been no visual characteristics of the Pioneer.
Again, did I miss something? Did we say why we hate it, or were we just making an assumption?
Well, the survey, the people hate it, but they didn't.
But why?
So why do the survey?
See, I'm making the assumption that they hate it because the Pioneers, you know.
It's almost like a leading question. Like, do you have a problem with this?
Like, we did some bad, like the Pioneers did some bad things, because they all did. So, I mean, I don't know. I was just wondering if it gave a reason why.
I mean, there were 7,000 people, and the vast majority of them don't like it. So
I didn't even know they were the Pioneers. So
the next step is to determine the future mascot with a committee who will seek input from students, staff, faculty, and alumni.
So this is a done deal. They are going ahead with this.
Sounds like it.
All right. Whatever.
The president, Robin H. Holmes Sullivan, said, "This is not a decision I take lightly. As a former student athlete, I know what it means to wear a team name carrying the responsibility of representing a beloved institution."
What?
Getting a little carried away, in my opinion.
It does. No offense to sports in general, but... Lewis and Clark sports, really? Like,
seems like everyone's making a little bit too big a deal of this.
Yeah.
A little much. Just a little...
Hey, you want to know where Jazzy Davidson's going? You know who that is?
Jazzy Davidson. Is that the basketball player?
Yeah.
Clackamas Hoopstar, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's a five-star.
I did see this.
Her name's Jazzy.
Yeah.
6'1" senior.
We're getting quite the combo down there.
Yeah, she's one of the top girls basketball players in the country. She's out at Clackamas.
But we're going to hate her now.
She is now headed to USC.
Boo!
Jazzy and Juju?
Boo!
Yes. Jazzy and Juju.
Juju Jazzy.
Look, that's great.
That's a great NIL sort of thing. But now do we all have to like boo her when they come back and play Oregon? Because she chose USC?
Did you boo Cameron Brink when she played Oregon?
I don't think
you did.
I never went and saw her, so I wouldn't
have booed her.
You don't know. You don't know what my booing is capable of.
So those are the important Portland issues today.
those are the big ones. Thank God. booing Jazzy, and God forbid we have the Pioneers.
Well, and the cat statue. Don't forget that.
I think cat statue number one. That was priorities.
Coraline cat statue.
Can I go boo the statue?
Meteor. Do we have to break? We do, don't we?
Probably have to break.
Probably?
Probably.
We definitely have to break.
What? So
don't tell me what to do, Buck.
Yeah, Buck.
Okay.
Bitch.
Well, the clock is supposed to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, we don't listen to that.
We have meteor streak news, not strike. Streak.
Important difference.
Meteors like to streak. We have that coming up next on In the News on The Fan. That's right. Isaac and Soup on The Fan. Hey, this is In the News for September 24, 2024. You know, tomorrow's your and I's anniversary.
Oh, what are you getting me?
I don't know. I have a few ideas. Do you like Audis?
Yeah, Audis are nice.
Let me get you a car.
That's tasty.
But I don't know yet.
German car, though.
Yeah. You know, if I got you an Audi.
I love my American cars.
And I wrapped it in a big red bow.
Yeah.
Would you really bitch about it being a German car? I'm like, here, Suk, here's the keys. It's all yours.
Yeah. Is anyone.
Would you really do that?
That's like one of those where they used to do that, like, Sweet 16 show, like on MTV. The girl would get, like, an Acura or something, and she'd be like, shh. I wanted a Land Rover. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah, I don't think. Has anyone ever bitched about getting an Audi? I think those are.
So you'd see the Audi with the big red bow from your beloved co-host as a gift, and you, in your head, you'd filter. You wouldn't say it to me, but in your head, you'd be like, ugh.
It's not like the Germans have ever made a good car. Well, you're not. If you're gonna get a German car, you can't get me a Porsche, you cheap bastard.
Hey, we had meteor streaks over Western Oregon last night. Hundreds of people. Did you see this? You don't seem excited. I need you to get excited about this.
All right. Okay. I didn't see them.
Well, but they're cool. You can see the videos. Yeah. Hundreds of people took to social media reporting seeing the bright flashes. At around 10:45 p.m., a few videos of the event have surfaced online.
Right, I'm looking at it here.
Rare sighting. These are large meteor fireballs.
Kick ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, see right here.
Yeah. What do you think? You seem fired up.
It was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. You know. We were up at staying at Mount Hood once, and we were outside and having a drink and a cigar, and I had no idea that a meteor shower was going on. But it started popping off, and for like, I don't know, 5 minutes, dude, it was kick-ass.
Yeah, those are cool, huh?
Yeah.
Big green lights.
I won't say of the celestial what have yous, you know, your eclipses and, you know, the aurora borealis and all that. I think meteor showers might be my top. They're pretty cool. I've seen a couple of them, and when they get going, if you get a really good one and it's just like constant, yeah, that's pretty kick-ass. Whereas the eclipse, I'm a little like, eh. And the Northern Lights is never as cool. Like, the Northern Lights are cool to see, but I've seen them a bunch of times, and they're never like what you see in photos because cameras can obviously pick up the different lights. So while they're impressive, in your mind, you think it's going to be like an Ansel Adams sort of thing, and it's not.
It's not. You're better off with the Northern Lights. You're better off looking at the photos.
Yes, the photos are way cooler. Yeah. Even if you take a photo with your phone and look at it, it'll be way cooler than what you see with your eyes.
Yeah, it's much like Mount Rushmore in that way.
Yes.
Just look at the photos.
Do not go to the Grand Canyon. Yes. Don't go to Mount Rushmore. It's, yeah.
Well, the American Meteor Society is a place where users can submit open source reports of meteor sightings. More than 130 reports of fireballs. Last night, 10:45 and 11 p.m. And there are some videos, pretty kind of cool.
Yeah.
Makes you think it's like UFOs and aliens and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Well, you just sit up there and it's...
We're about to die.
That is true. You see like a couple and then one like, hey, that one's not going away. Wait a minute. That one's getting a little...
I tell you, that'd be a way to go, wouldn't it?
That would be a way to go. In fact... You know, given my choice, I may take that above anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it would be quick.
Yeah.
And it would probably be amazing to watch come right at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You ever seen, you probably have. You ever seen, like, Rogue One, the Star Wars movie?
No.
It's great. The Death Star blows up the planet that the two main characters are on. And they just, they're on a beach. And they're looking over, and the Death Star blows up the planet, and the wave you know, like the nuke explosion is coming towards them.
Yeah,
and they just hold each other and look at this, you know, and it's, and I thought to myself as I watched it, I was like, it's like the meteor thing. If you're going to go, it's not a bad way to go. Watching the planet go, you know, it's, you know, some dinosaur all those years ago was like, oh boy.
That's probably what they said.
That's probably it for us. There was like a T-Rex somewhere that was like, hell. Hey, it's been a good run, boys. We'll see you on the other side.
In the news is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We've got a lot of news today, guys. If you're just tuning in, I mean a lot. And it's local. We got Blazers TV news, the Portland Diamond Project making headlines, the Mountain West is on the brink of complete disaster.
No one knows.
I mean, my God. Oh, and Brett Favre news.
I know.
What the hell?
That guy.
All of that is next on The Fan.